Okay, so I hear you like books.
Why, yes, I do.
That's right. When I was your age, television was called books. And this is a special book.
Because when you read a book as a child, it becomes part of your identity in a way that no other reading in your whole life does. And I have gotten carried away.
Yeah. Yeah, you have.
Are you seeing the books? Everything you would want to read is right here. Feel it. Feels good, right? Just smell it. Nothing smells like that.
Welcome, friends, to episode 12 of Team Friendship Reads the Newberries. This episode, we will be talking about Caddy Woodlawn. I'm joined today by my fellow podcasters, Lauren.
Hello, friends.
That was ominous.
It was.
Very Halloween-ish, maybe. And also Mandalay.
What up, friends?
So how are you guys doing this week?
We're doing great.
We're good.
We're a little hopped up on caffeine right now, so I'm this might be a very upbeat episode. Let's see. Or very distracted.
We might crash.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll take a nap in the middle.
Well, this is during my nap time.
Oh, that's rough.
It's approximately 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
I'm on vacation, so pretty much any time we would have done it today would have been during nap time.
Yeah. Thank you for coming out of your vacation.
My hibernation. Yeah. My 1 week hibernation.
It's nice that you get to take a vacation.
Yes, it
is. Was it a forced vacation? Were they like, Mandy, take a vacation?
You need to, no, I just had time left and I had to take it before.
Or you'll lose
the holiday.
It. So yeah. If you don't use it, they don't pay you money and stuff?
No, they don't do payouts. So you have to take it.
Well, I guess that's kind of nice. Forces you to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Should we jump right into our first segment?
Let's do it.
All right.
For the love of books. It's company out, Lauren.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I don't really have much.
Awesome.
New. I've been struggling to get through things recently, although Caddy was easy to get through. I read that very quickly.
Yes.
But I finally finished The Glass Castle. I have renewed it like 3 times from the library. So it's taken me a while. Yeah. The book was very intense. It's a lot of interesting.
Which one was this?
It's The Glass Castle by Jeanette Walls, I think is her last name. And they just made a movie about it. And it's her personal memoirs growing up.
Okay, yes,
I
was trying to recall which one.
Very interesting family.
Mm.
They were very, like, psychologically, like, impressive. And also, she was very poor. But then, like, now she works in New York and is very wealthy and well off, and she kept her past hidden for a long time, and then she wrote this memoir, and it was very intriguing. I don't know, it's a pretty intense book, so if you're not in a very good place emotionally, do not read it.
Don't do it.
But I finished it. I did it.
Good job. Proud of you. High five.
And I don't know what I'm going to read next. I'm thinking Harry Potter. I've been, like, putting it off, and I just
I
need to do it.
Do it.
Yes. Yeah. I still have to finish Harry Potter.
You should do that.
I know. There's just so many, and they just keep getting longer.
They do. As the books go on, they just keep getting longer. But it's worth it.
It's very intimidating.
Don't be intimidated by it.
I want to read my... I only have the second one in the illustrated copy, but I want to read it.
Yeah. Do it.
It's like a fun story
time. I always want to do that, but I'm scared I'm going to have like something on my fingers, because I like to eat, and I don't want to like get something on the page.
Well, you should read your... Well, that's the first one that we got, the house editions that we got.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess I could start
that's
with
the first
that
one.
I didn't read it, but I read all the fun stuff in it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I haven't even done that. I should go back and do that.
Pretty.
There's not that much. I was actually really disappointed that there wasn't more.
We need more.
Give me more special.
So what have you been reading, Mandy?
Caddy Woodlawn. I don't know who the author is.
We'll get to that in the author segment.
I'm still reading Stephen King's It.
Did you watch the movie?
The new one?
The new one.
Oh, yeah. It was good. Not as terrifying. I mean, I was a young child when I watched the first one, so I think it's going to be more terrifying. You're a 7-year-old. The actual story is, as it turns out, is he's like an alien.
Okay.
But, yeah, he's basically, like, evil. And the clown is just the shape he takes.
But he eats kids.
I mean, usually an arm. Or a leg.
Oh, yeah, I'm not into that.
Just part of them. So
it's okay.
But in the book, you're going through, and, like, some of it is, like, news articles. And it's, like, about, like, kids that have gone missing. Okay. And so, it's just kind of cool in the book, because backstory. You're like, it was all the clown.
Well,
I wouldn't recommend it for child readers.
No, I'm glad that you and are entertained by it.
I'm just more interested in the...
You like dark stuff, right? Like, what... I mean, is that considered horror? Would that be considered,
yeah, it's
like
horror,
horror,
but it's kind of, like, mystery, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're just, like, following these kids, and then they get to go back and fight them again.
When they get older.
Kind of like a more extreme, like, Stranger Things, almost.
Yeah. Cool.
But, yeah, I finished Caddy Woodlawn.
Manny, I'm so proud of you. I was really scared when I texted you at the beginning of this week, and I told you how far I was, which I wasn't very far, and you were not. You hadn't
even
started
it.
It was a pretty fast read.
Yeah, I read it in 2 days.
Really, yeah.
What are you into, Lauren?
Well, I have been very, I've gotten a lot done.
Did you eat a bag of Snickers?
Well done.
I've read a lot of books since the last time we recorded.
Good job, Lauren.
Yeah, so I read Wonder, what they're making it into a movie. Oh my goodness, this book is like a whole box of tissues book. Like, so good. Like, so good.
Seems expensive.
Just buy the knockoff
brand. Right, a box of tissues.
You can just use, you know, a towel or something. Reusable tissues. But yeah, it's so good. Like, it's told from, like, you get the different perspectives of the different characters. Like, it's almost like they're writing journal entries, like, the different chapters. It's so good. And
I like it.
Just talks about, like, peer pressure and kindness and, like, expressing your feelings. I feel like as children, like, we don't really express our feelings that well because we don't know how. And, like, this book would be really good to help kids do that. You know, obviously family and friendship and all of that stuff. So, and just... I don't know, just being kind to people in general. It doesn't matter. Like, yes, there's an emphasis on being kind to people who look different or, you know, are just different than you. But, I mean, we just be kind to everybody, you know?
Because everyone is different.
Exactly.
So, you can edit this out if you need to, but Joey, my husband, is working nights now, and so in the mornings, he's very, very tired. And so we were watching the news or something, and a commercial came on for the movie. And so he's watching this commercial, and all of a sudden he goes, that's what the book Wonder is about? I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a wonderful story. I should read that.
He should.
You should.
You can.
It's on the show.
After I read the book, I, like, went and watched the trailer. And, like, they've come out with so many different trailers. I just cry every time.
Yeah.
Because it's so good. Like, it's so good.
I haven't seen it.
So, yeah, when it comes out. Well, the movie's not out yet. So.
I haven't seen the trailer. Oh.
So, yeah. Well, when the movie comes out, we're going to see it.
When does it come out?
It's, like, around, like, Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So, you got time.
That's coming out. Turkey Day. Mm-hmm. I'm preparing.
What else have you been reading, Lauren?
I also read Wish Tree by Katherine Applegate. She's the author of The One and Only Ivan, which was a Newbery Medal winner. So, yes, this book just came out, like, a month or two ago. And it's a shorter read. This is... probably geared to, like, younger kids, I would say. But it's really good. It's about an oak tree named Red, and it's kind of, like, based on, like, this old Celtic myth of, like, when people would come and hang their wishes on the wish tree on wish day or something. I don't know.
Wish day.
Yeah, I want a wishing tree.
Yeah, and so, I don't know, just the way that Catherine describes, like, the tree and, like, the animals that live in the tree and, like, just their little community. Like, it's so clever and hilarious. Like, it's just really funny. So I won't, like, give it away because it's funny to read it. So guys,
we should have a team friendship party and each make our own wish tree.
We should.
Be, like, a theme. And then Lauren can read the book out loud to us.
I could. I could read it out loud. Me too. It's definitely a very read out loud.
She was a teacher, so she can read out loud. And she can do the thing where they, I don't know how they do it. They like hold the books.
I'll hold it down and like read from the side.
Yeah. You guys are good at that.
I do that. It's like you have to learn how to read upside down, basically.
I can't do that.
But yeah, some days I don't feel like doing it. And so I would just tell my kids, like, Mrs. Keene is going to read and then I'll show you the pictures, okay?
But then you still have 50.
Inevitably, yeah. I can't see. Show me the pictures. The
pages are turned away from you.
Exactly.
Sweet children that I love.
I know.
This is why Jesus such didn't a call blessing. You to be a teacher.
Such a blessing. But yeah, but ultimately this story is just about being kind to those, again, who are different than you and not allowing fear to foster hatred. So, so that even though it's like a short, it's a shorter book, like you can probably read it in a day and it's, you know, definitely geared toward younger kids, but it just has that deep message that I think especially, I don't know, no matter what time of life you're in, it's good to learn these things. But I think if we can get, it sounds bad, but like if we can get this into kids when they're young, you know, like,
well, yeah, I mean, a lot of what you learn when you're young is still kind of ingrained in your head, even when you don't want it to be.
That's why we're crazy.
I'm currently in the midst of, I'm listening to the audiobook of Solo by Kwame Alexander.
Kwame, we love you.
It's his most recent book. And so this book is geared more towards teenagers and like young adults. So definitely not, I wouldn't recommend it for younger kids or anything like that. But it's about a teenager and his dad's a rock star. Like the whole family's kind of in the rock star business, but his dad is like he's addicted to drugs and alcohol. And so like it's him dealing with that and like just dealing with what teenagers deal with in general and kind of at the beginning of the book, I was just like, oh my goodness, like, I don't know, it just seemed very superficial to me, and I was just like, oh, where are we going with this? But it's gotten super good, so.
Kwame will not lead us.
No, it's so good, and so, very good, and of course, in Kwame's fashion, he has written it in verse, so it's really good. And I don't know if he does this with all of his books, but the audiobook is narrated by him, so.
That's really awesome.
Good. So, but yeah, just it's a good book about
beginning to become one of my favorites.
Yeah, I really like him a lot. But yeah, it's just a book about friendship and trust and broken trust and, you know, coming of age, discovering yourself, family dynamics and all that. So, yeah,
like a good teenager book.
Oh yeah, it would be great for teenagers, and definitely one that I think parents could read with their kids to. It's a good book about discussion, and you can discuss those kind of harder subjects. I will say, like, there are drug and alcohol references to this, but what I love about this is it focuses more on, like, the negative sides of that. It's not glorifying it. Mm-hmm. So.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm also working on Luther on the Christian Life.
She wasn't lying when she said she had a lot going on here.
And that's by Carl Truman. It's just kind of like a biographical book about
Luther. Is that the one that they gave away?
It is not. Not that I know of. I don't know. I don't remember.
I reserved that one at the library, but then I never got there to pick it up. Sorry, library.
Yeah, they don't like to wait for you. Sometimes they do, though. Like, one time I went in and just to see, and it was still on the shelf, so... Anyway, but yeah, this book is more, like, it does give, like, his like, life history, but it more focuses on, like, his historical context and, like, his theological framework, basically.
Interesting.
So, I'm only at the beginning, but I picked that because it's the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, yes. So I was like, read more about Luther, you know?
Yeah.
So that's me.
I like it.
Proud of you, Lauren.
Is that it? Are we good?
Think we are.
All right, well, let's move on to book news.
I I just love it. Every time. It just pumps me up.
I'm glad.
All right. Let's see here. I gotta open a different email.
But the sound, she was right on it.
I was on it. Sound. Mm-hmm.
We can only ask for so much.
Right. All right. So
we're still new at this, technically.
What is this? Catherine Patterson. What did she write originally? We know her.
Bridge to Terabithia.
Thank you. The
Great Gilly Hopkins.
The book that made me cry. Well, she has a new book. How do you even say this, Lauren?
I think it is it like My Brigadista
Year? Yes. Yes. Should I just read the synopsis there for the
sure,
people?
Sure, go for it.
13-year-old Laura tells her parents that she wants to join Premier Castro's army of young literacy teachers. Her mother screeches to high heaven and her father roars like a lion. Just read the whole thing. No. So long. It seems good.
Well, it's Catherine Patterson. You know, it's going to be good.
It's a historical novel.
Is it like historical fiction or is it like...
An engrossing historical novel. I would assume it's fiction. It follows a young Cuban teenager as she volunteers for Fidel Castro's national literacy campaign and travels into the impoverished countryside to teach others how to read.
That's so like fascinating and intriguing. Like this is stuff that you don't learn about. You know, in school.
No.
Mm-mm.
That needs to be learned.
Anyway, she has a contest going on right now, celebrating the launch of this book. Each week for the next 6 weeks, she will be drawing from all those who have shared the post on...
Facebook.
Facebook. Is it her page or is it just on the Candlewick
Press? It's on her page.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go find Catherine Patterson.
So I think she'll be giving away like signed copies of the book or something every week. So I'm hoping
everyone loves signed copies.
Hoping I get that. It's Catherine Patterson, guys.
She's amazing.
Yes. We love her along with Kate.
Yes.
And then we have Kwame.
Kwame!
With his, is it a show?
Yeah, he's got it's a show called on Bookish. Facebook. Yeah, called Bookish.
Yeah, Facebook added a new feature where you can do these shows.
Videos. So they're trying to compete with, like, YouTube now.
It seems like, yeah.
But he's hilarious.
He's really funny.
I just watched the first one, but it was wonderful.
Yeah.
I haven't checked it out yet.
They're so good. So it comes out every Wednesday. And so
she's watching it right now.
No, that was the trailer for the Wonder movie that we discussed earlier.
No, it comes out every Wednesday. So far he's done two. And they're really good. And the first one he interviewed the author of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid books. And then this most recent one he had on one of the actresses from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So.
Mm. I love that he's doing something.
And there's a reason. Like, I think she's an author or something. So, yeah. No, but so he's on tour promoting his book solo, which when I watched the first episode, that's when I started reading the book because I was like, oh, sounds cool.
So I like it.
Mm-hmm.
He's accomplishing what he has set out to accomplish.
Yes. But every week, because it's him and his friend Randy who like writes music and stuff with him. And so every week they share what books they're reading.
The songs that are in the audiobook of Solo.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know so much.
we just watched the show. You know?
They tell you all that.
Yeah. I did too much this week to add
that. Snickers and video games. It's just monopolizing your time.
It is.
So much to do.
But I think that concludes our book news.
Well, let's get into this book, guys.
Let's do it.
So, Caddy Woodlawn, winner of the 1936 Newbery Medal by Carol Ryrie Brink.
Very good.
That's a hard name to say.
Oh, yeah. Guys, I have to tell you about this. I went in, sorry.
Oh, no.
It has to do with this. So, I go into Barnes & Noble. To try to buy this book, right? So I'm going to the thing to, like, search, you know, on the computer. Well, the chick comes up and she's like,
Is there anything I can help you find? I'm like, yeah, I'm looking for Kattie Woodlawn. She's like, oh, is that an author?
And
I'm
oh, my word.
And I'm like, and you work here?
Like, you've got mail. All
over. Exactly. Noel Stretfield.
Noel Stretfield. How do you spell that?
It took a lot to not laugh at her.
Come on. You work in the children's section of Barnes & Noble. You should know.
Well, it's Kattie Woodlawn.
You have to pass a test.
Like, I'd never read it, but I'd still heard of it.
It's a Newbery Medal winning book.
I don't know.
Maybe sometimes.
Guys, when we open up our bookstore, which is going to happen, I believe it's going to happen, you know.
We'll put it on our wish tree.
Yes, exactly.
It's on our wish tree, and we might have a GoFundMe.
People come in and ask for Kattie Woodlawn. We're not going to say that. We're not going to say that
about her.
Because we'll have a whole Newbery section at the front
with, like, twinkle lights around it.
Yes.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Little cutout stars, too.
Let's just start with that. Let's create.
That's all we're going to have.
It's just a Newbery section. Team Friendship sells the Newberries.
I like it. Okay. All right. So, Kattie Woodlawn. Children everywhere will love redheaded Kattie with her penchant for pranks.
Alliteration.
Scarcely out of one scrape before she is into another, she refuses to be a lady. Whether she is crossing the lake on a raft, visiting an Indian camp, or listening to the tales of the circuit rider, Kattie's adventures provide an exciting and authentic picture of life on the Wisconsin frontier in the 1860s. And readers will discover, as Kattie learns, what growing up truly means. But it is not so very different today. All right, Leah. Give us some author history / book background.
So,
that's not too much to ask.
Hey, we have the same.
I know.
Sorry. From the library, we read the same book, everybody.
Howdy, guys.
We read the same book, guys.
I read the electronic version.
Way to go, Mandy. Bringing us into the future.
All right, let's focus, guys, okay?
Okay. So Carol Ryrie Brink is our author. She was born December 28th. Whoa, really? She was born December 28th, 1865. Does that seem possible? I feel like that's not right. No, I guess so. This book's really old.
Yeah, anyway. When the 1936 Newbery Medal.
Yep, so that's about right. Mm-hmm. And then she died the 15th of August in 1981 in California.
When was she born again? Can you say the time she was born?
December 28th, 1865.
And she died in the 80s?
Yeah, that doesn't seem right, does it?
She was like 120 years old when she died.
I was like, I just copied and pasted it from a reputable website.
Wait, when did she die?
I don't think her death date is right, Leah.
Wow, blame those people. We can cut all this out. Let me see. I had another blurb with her life and death.
Because it says she lived to be
86.
No, that's
Kattie Woodlawn.
Maybe they meant 18.
This says 1895.
Is when she died?
Is when she was born.
That makes more sense.
18. And when did she die?
1980-something.
Mm-hmm.
That would put her at about 91 when she died.
Yeah, that's better than 120.
Well, now I don't trust anything.
I know, right?
They did not say that. Correctly. Okay.
Let's was that start Wikipedia? Over. We'll
no,
call them out.
We'll call them. Wikipedia's already been called out for misinformation. So.
From the American Women Writer is a critical reference guide from colonial times to present.
Well, you get a hold of those legit. American Women Writers Club people and you tell them that their information is wrong.
So anyway, this book was inspired by Carol's grandmother, who she lived with. Carol's parents both died, and so she was orphaned, and so she moved in with her grandma and her aunt, and so they both were very good storytellers. She grew up hearing tales from her grandmother's childhood, and then when she had children of her own, she decided to share those stories with her children and began writing them down, decided to write a book. So this book is based on her grandmother, Kattie Caroline Woodhouse is her actual name, not Woodlawn. And so, because it's based on a real story, I was looking up. There's actually a Caddy Woodlawn Park, Memorial Park, in Menominee, Wisconsin. So this book was based in Wisconsin. There's a real place. You can go see the actual house that Caddy grew up in. They actually moved it from the farmland where it was originally to this memorial park.
Nice.
So you can go there.
Where is this?
So Menominee? It's not Menominee Falls. It's Menominee. So it's up higher. It's of by...
We can get there in 5 hours. Let's go.
I can't remember what the bigger city is, but we stop in Eau Claire when we're on our way up to Minneapolis, and it's about 36 minutes from there. So it's pretty close to the Minnesota border.
So guys, we could take a team friendship field trip.
It's about 4 hours from here, we could do it. And then we could go to Minneapolis and visit all the independent bookstores and find Kate.
We'll find Kate. Kate!
She lives there.
We'll go on a journey.
Who else lives there that we just read their book or something?
Yes. I know who you're
talking
about.
The last one we did,
right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kelly Barnhill.
She lives there as well.
We're going to find Kate and Kelly. We'll just stay there till we find them.
So if anyone wants to take a family trip to see Caddy Woodlawn's home, it's open. I had it open during daylight hours, spring through fall, and it's free to tour.
So we'll have to go in the spring then. So yeah. It's probably closed right now.
Yeah. Well, do you really want to go in the winter?
No.
Have we read those books?
Yeah. I do want to go in the winter for that reason. I want the full experience.
Well, feel free. You can camp.
There's probably butter in the...
in the churner.
Yeah, in the...
in the creek or whatever they do.
Wherever they've had their little storage place. Yeah.
So she... most of her story is... pretty normal, other than that her grandma had a pretty fun existence. She went to the University of Idaho and the University of California, Berkeley. She was married. That's about all.
Hence the really long last name.
Yes. and then she went on to write more than 30 fiction and nonfiction books for children and adults, as well as several plays. She received this Newbery Award, the Lewis Carroll Shelf Award in 1959.
That's a nice award.
Also for Caddy Woodlawn.
Mm-hmm. Lewis Carroll.
She also won the Friends of American Writers Award.
Sorry, I'm sorry that I'm interrupting you.
I like
That's not very nice of me.
It's okay, we interrupt you. We like to give our input.
No, she also wrote a sequel to this, right? To Caddy Woodlawn.
Yeah, wasn't there like Caddy Woodlawn's family or something?
Yeah, there's... Maybe there's more than one. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember.
The story continues.
Yes!
So that is our dear... So in her real... It's a family name. Caroline is a family name. And Carol's actual name is Caroline.
You guys.
That just made everything awesome. More awesome than it already is.
Yes.
Because that name was so special in the book. Now it all makes sense.
So that's... I just love that she does fictionalize some of the stories just to make it more thrilling for children, but most of them are based in actual occurrences, which I just...
Including the Native Americans?
Yes, they literally... And it says... I don't know where that article went, but in another article I read, it was talking about how... Mr. Woodhouse related with the Native Americans, and it was very forward thinking. He was actually friends with them and very accepting, and so I thought that was pretty cool. It's a very advanced book.
It is.
Even today, I felt like some of the things were very applicable. This is definitely that we're dealing with.
Yeah, this is definitely something. I don't know. I which is funny to me that like, these themes keep coming up in the books we're reading.
Yeah.
I
remember also, I knew, I must have read the book in elementary. We've all kind of talked about how we think we did. And I remember learning this, that it was about her real grandmother. And I thought that was so cool. Mm-hmm.
I know I didn't read it myself, but I think it was read to me. It must have been read to me by a teacher in school.
Yeah.
Because as I read it, I remembered.
I remembered, yeah, a lot of it.
So. And there's details I remember from the book that there's also a movie that we've talked about.
Yes.
We used to watch as kids. The Future Films for Families mm-hmm. movies.
Didn't you say it's on YouTube now?
It is.
Is that, like, legal, though?
No, I don't think so.
See, I'm so naive. I just assume it's on YouTube. It's okay. YouTube wouldn't allow this.
Because there was one link I clicked on, and they had removed okay. it for copyright infringement. Yeah,
I was going to say, it's legal for you to watch
your mom
it.
Must have the VHS somewhere.
I'm pretty sure.
In this the house.
This very house that we're sitting in.
We just need to find a VHS player.
It's probably in the spare room. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
This book is probably somewhere in this yeah. house. I need to find my mother's book stash so I can quit checking these out from the library.
So what are you guys' like overall thoughts on the book?
I liked it. I liked and
how many
loved
stars
it.
Would you give it? Like out of 5 stars, how many?
I would give it 5 stars.
Really, 5.
But just because of like what Leah said, how it's like it was very relatable even to me now, even though it's like they're back in the pioneer days. Mm-hmm. And just because I feel like it was very well written, like. Mm-hmm. Because there wasn't really a solid storyline. You're kind of just following this family.
Right, yeah.
But, and I usually get distracted with books like that if there's right. not, like, a solid. But, like, I didn't. I was super into it the whole way through because it was very well. The flow was good. Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm looking for?
Yes.
Sure. Good flow.
You could tell that she had been influenced by very talented storytellers.
Yes.
Because she did have the ability to suck you into these stories, and some of them were not even that great. I mean, most of them were exciting stories, but throughout the whole book, I was very intrigued. I would start reading it and lose track of time, which to me is always a good sign for a good book. But
no, that's kind of how I felt as I read it. It almost felt like we were sitting at the feet of her grandma telling these stories, you know, almost like, because that's kind of how it is. I don't know if your grandmas tell you stories. But
listeners.
But like our grandparents always told us stories, and that's kind of how it was. It was just you got like this little snapshot of their childhood, and that's how this book is. It's like each chapter is kind of a little snapshot. You know, you can tell they're in order almost, but
and you can tell that some of the stories are just memorable moments that she would just keep passing on to her kids.
Yeah.
Like, I think the scene that kind of pops into my head is when they were plowing the field and her brother told them this fascinating story that was like their favorite family story. Like, that's not a huge event in life that they were out there, you know, randomly got to plow a field and they were telling a story, but it's something that stuck in their mind and then probably Carol heard it several times and could write it
She's
down.
Like, well, I gotta write this down now.
And I liked all that stuff because it was kind of like, because, I mean, they didn't have what we have now for anything.
Right, they didn't have television or so, maybe not as much access to books even that we have.
It was fun for me to read through it and just see, like, kids entertaining themselves.
Right? It was just, like, a lot of good childhood fun, you know? It just really was.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Get outside, children. Cross the river and go see the Native
Americans. Go see the Native Americans. Yeah. I don't know, but it was just good. It was just, it was also fun to just, as Caddy is processing, like, because some serious events kind of happen. Some of them even scary. And it's just interesting to go back into that mindset of being a child and how you process trials and stress different than an adult would, you know? So I don't know, it's just interesting. And I also liked the historical aspect of it. Like, the Civil War is going on during this time, but it's just so interesting because of where they, like, they're in Wisconsin, and so they just hear about it. They're not, like, in the midst of it. Just stuff like that. And then, obviously, the Native American stuff was very interesting, too.
I definitely enjoyed just getting a glimpse into the everyday life of back then. So not even how the kids operated, but also how the family operated and how they had food and how the mom raised turkeys. And that story was funny, too.
Yeah,
the cook was
like there and I'd be sick of these. Just let them be excited now.
I loved how they're like so excited. They're like, yeah, turkey every day. And then they're like, ah, oh, turkey again.
Treating like, them for like lard sandwiches or whatever.
It's got that so tired of it.
I feel for them, man. That happens every year at Thanksgiving. Right? I'm so excited.
It's a week later, and I had turkey sandwiches all week. Yeah.
Well, that's how we were like the next day. We're like, let's order pizza. We have all these leftovers in the fridge, but we don't want to eat them.
I can't imagine doing that for an entire season. That would be awful.
I'd definitely be training
at
school.
Yeah.
I love how indignant the mother got about trying to sell those and not getting the money that she deserved for her fine turkey.
Yeah, and then her husband is just off smiling because he told her.
Yes, he told her this was going to happen and she didn't believe him. I don't know, that mom, I have mixed emotions about her. Like,
so do I.
I don't like her. I'm just going to be honest. I'll just come out and say it. I didn't like Caddy's mom. Because she's like from Boston and she misses like her family. But she also misses, like the proper manners. Like, and she wants Caddy to be a lady and all this stuff. And, like, when Cousin Animal comes from Boston to visit, like, she's totally comparing Caddy to this Annabelle because they're on the same age. And, like, you know, that she wishes Caddy acted more like that. But it's not just, like, the manners. It's the... I feel like she was very materialistic. Like, she missed the fashion and all of that stuff from Boston. And I don't know. And then she also, like, refers to, like, I don't know. She wasn't very kind when she talked about the Native Americans. And I don't know. I didn't like her. She seemed like a snob.
I liked her and I didn't like her. Because I didn't like all that stuff. But then at the same time, like... I guess I kind of liked her in her interactions with her husband, because, like, I feel like her husband leveled her out a little bit.
Right. He was definitely good for her.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I really liked the dad a lot. Yeah, I love just, like, you could tell he had a special, or at least this book presents it in a way that he has a special relationship with Caddy and... Mm-hmm. They're very close, and it's like he gets her, and her mom just doesn't get her, but he gets her, and how she, like, was secretly, like, fixing that clock. Was it a clock or a watch? I can't remember.
It was a watch.
A like watch, a pocket watch. Or a pocket watch. Mm-hmm. And, like, instead of, like, getting mad at her, he's just so proud of her and, like, comes in and helps her, and... I don't know, he's just so proud of her that, you know, she's not
wanting
doing...
wanting to learn.
Yeah, like, she's not doing something that, like, a traditional, like... girl or woman would do, you know, but he doesn't like stop her from that. He lets her do it. And I don't know, he seems like he was a very forward thinking person anyway, which is awesome. Like, we need more men like that.
Or the part when he told her it was okay for her to be good at women things too.
He wasn't saying like don't be a lady, which is, I don't know, that whole conversation he has with her,
I loved
was
it.
So good. Like, just presenting in, I don't know, like, just his, it was just such a good talk on the different roles that men and women have, and it doesn't mean that men are better than women or whatever, but, you know, he's like, we need women because you help men, you know, like, you can do things that men can't do, and I'm not talking, like, occupation-wise, it's just, you know... the mindset.
In the women
way. Like emotional and mindset. I don't know. There's just, women are different than men. It's just, that's obvious. You can't.
Yes.
You just can't deny that. So, I don't know. He said it really, really nicely. So.
I know. I had meant to highlight it and I didn't. If I would have, my Kindle would just show it to me right now. Right. I did highlight the thing, the little blurb at the end, though, that I loved.
Tell us.
I will read it. I like the end. What a lot has happened since last year when I dropped the nuts all over the dining room floor. How far I've come. I'm the same girl and yet not the same. I wonder if it's always like that. Folks keep growing from one person into another all their lives, and life is just a lot of everyday adventures. Well, whatever life is, I like it. And I just cried.
No, that was good. It was really good.
That is what life is.
So, like,
Kathy.
Leah, what was one of your favorite parts of this book?
Favorite parts of this book. Oh, my favorite part of this book is when Caddy took the three. Three little
the Hankinson
Native
kids,
American
yes.
slash American boys.
That part was so
to
good.
Treat mm-hmm. them at the store. Oh my goodness! Mm-hmm. I think I was actually crying oh, when so I read that yes. part.
Like it she was saved so it all sweet. This time.
It was so sweet.
Yeah.
It was that whole like even everything that happened before that was just heart wrenching because yes. like their mom comes in, says goodbye to them, and like. That never gets resolved. Like, at least in this book, she doesn't come back. And it's because, like, her husband is ashamed of her. And it, that was just really sad. But it was also, that must have happened a lot, mm-hmm. which is very sad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know. And I don't, I'm sure I didn't have the same emotions when I read that as a child. But now as an adult, realizing what these little children are going through.
Yeah.
They're just sitting there in school, mm-hmm. and their mother leaves.
Well, and what kind of father, like,
yeah,
yeah,
and
pushes her
I
to
didn't
leave.
Understand why she didn't take the kids with her.
Yeah,
like if he's ashamed of her, well, what's he gonna do to the children?
She must have thought they're better off with that. Like he's so ashamed of me, then
they'll be
better
with
off
him.
With that. I just
right.
that's so sad to me that she felt that way. Yeah. That she felt like she had to leave, and. As a mom, like, that ripped my heart out. Like, leaving your child, like, oh my goodness.
That was terrible.
Yeah, it was awful. And so, yeah, that scene when Caddy takes them to the store and, like, she had, you know, she had been dreaming of all the things she could do with that money.
Yeah.
And she just spent it all on them. It was just,
and
that's a good lesson for kids
I'm
also.
I'd wondered the whole book what she was going to do with it.
Yeah, it was just so good.
The things that she bought. For them too. Was
right,
just
she
so
in.
Thoughtful and adult like. I really
yes.
want to know. Stuff like this makes me wonder which of these stories are real and which.
Yeah.
Like. But she bought them candy and tops and then gave them each something helpful. Like
yes.
a comb and
yes.
a handkerchief.
Yeah.
And that was just.
Yeah.
So
which
sweet.
Is so funny to me because it's like she's such like this tomboy
right.
and so
but
carefree.
She has that mothering.
But she has that mothering tendency.
Yeah.
Like she has a maturity about her.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Which I think is what it. I wasn't so against the mom. The thing that won me over to the mother is the fact that she moved to Wisconsin with her husband.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
that takes a lot.
Yeah.
And the fact that she learned how to survive there and
mm-hmm.
preserve their food and do life out on the range, like, that was impressive
right.
to me.
Yeah. No, I agree. And she definitely, redeems herself
right.
at the end of the book when they have, like, this chance to move back to
right.
London. And she says, no, I see that, like, she's like, I see my husband loves it here,
right.
and I want to be with, like, wherever you are is my home, basically,
right.
you know? Like,
and I felt
so.
Like Caddy must have picked up some of that from
yeah.
her mother in order to be able to love and
mm-hmm.
to do things like that for these little kids
yeah.
and take care of her brothers and...
Mm-hmm. Just to sacrifice, I don't know, it's just sacrifice.
Yeah.
Sacrifice what you want to give to other people.
And I just felt like that scene kind of showed... That there's more than one way to be a woman and to
yep.
be,
mm-hmm.
to have those womanly affections
mm-hmm.
or whatever. I don't know what
yeah.
they, the fancy language they used back then.
right.
But I don't think
to
that Cousin Annabelle would have thought of that
no,
stuff.
No, she
would
seemed
have
very
been
self-centered.
That genuine.
Yeah.
And so
mm-hmm.
I think that Caddy's father had a point.
I was going to
mm-hmm.
say, he was on to something. Yeah. Letting her run wild with them boys.
Well, and the fact that that was almost a survival technique, too, because their
mm-hmm.
kids kept dying. And so
mm-hmm.
he thought, maybe this one needs to be hardier.
Yeah.
Because we live out here.
Right.
Yeah. And that, too, like, they don't get into this in the book, but just, like, that emotional, like, of losing a sibling.
Yeah.
And, like, did they say how old Mary was when she died? Like,
she would have been
it
a...
It sounded like she was older.
It said that she was... around the same age as one of the siblings.
Mm-hmm.
I
But I don't know how old she was when she died.
But I don't know.
So, I mean, yeah, it didn't sound like she was a baby when she died. No. It sounded like she was
like a toddler.
Yeah, at least a toddler, which that, I mean.
Yeah.
And obviously that, I don't know.
But didn't that happen a lot?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it probably did happen a lot, but I don't think that that makes it any easier, right. You know?
Right. And I don't think it would have happened in Boston, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they were living out in the middle of nowhere.
And also, like, how they didn't forget about her. Like, Caddy, you know, goes to the grave and just sits there sometimes and remembers her and thinks about what it would be like if she were still there. And
the thoughts and her realization that she's not being kind to Hetty, like, that got me.
Yeah.
That was so sweet.
It was sweet. Like, because I think being the older sister, like, I was always annoyed by Mandy and mostly her. The other two are
I wasn't a tattletale.
You were. I think we all were in our own way.
No, every time that they talked about her running off to, like, go blast.
That was Mandy's.
Yes.
I laughed.
Yeah. But just like when Hetty is like, you probably want me to leave. Like, she just knows that her siblings find her annoying.
Yep.
And just, when Caddy's like, no, I need to be nicer to her, and, I don't, that was sweet.
And then Team Friendship was born! Right.
that was, I forgot about that, that was good.
Yeah, I just,
like, right at the end,
liked being in her little mind as she's growing up and being more, I think living in that environment when, like, they think they're going to be slaughtered by the Native Americans and like their school almost catches on fire. It's a harsher reality than what we deal with today.
Well, that whole thing with the Native Americans, like, that was almost a big thing started because
of, like, drunk.
A bar rumor.
Yeah.
And how often did and does that happen?
Exactly. I don't know. There was a quote from the beginning of, or one of those chapters, that was just really good, and I'm going to read it because I wrote it down.
Proud of you.
It's on page 119 of the book that I got.
I'll check.
So it says, "The fear spread like a disease, nourished on rumors and race hatred. For many years now, the whites had lived at peace with the Indians of western Wisconsin. But so great was this disease of fear that even a tavern rumor could spread it like an epidemic throughout the country." And it's just like, like, this fear causes us to do terrible things. Like, it was, they allowed the fear to foster hatred. That's what they were doing. And that happens today. You know, people are scared of refugees, or whatever, it's if we let them into our neighborhood, they're just gonna start blowing stuff up, I don't know what people think, but it's their fear just takes over. And
I wonder if people in other countries are like, if we let the Americans in, they're just gonna eat all the food.
Those fat Americans.
We had friends in Ukraine that said they would never want to come to America because people get shot all the time there. Yeah. There's guns everywhere. So you just believe what you're told, and just blindly.
Yeah. And I think fear can be, it can't. Like, we can be so overcome by fear. I think especially, I mean, that was one rumor from a tavern. We get that stuff. We're bombarded by that stuff every day. You know, and I think a lot of us can believe the lie that everything we hear is true and accurate. And we need to stop and remember this may not be exactly true, or it could be skewed to make us think certain things. I don't know, but you just have to be very careful and not let fear paralyze you and not let it cause you to hate people or people groups. Because that's not okay, guys. It's not
just crazy to me. Like, that whole, because even right down to the war going on in this book.
Yeah.
And, like, they weren't living in it, so they only knew what they heard by word of mouth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even with all the technology we have today, I feel like it's still the same.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're just pioneers in the interweb world.
Well, I mean, with this latest attack, it was by an Uzbek man? A man from Uzbekistan. I mean, it was really funny because when I heard someone talking about it, one of my coworkers is from Uzbekistan. Hmm. And so her husband was like, it's your people. But it's just so easy to think, like,
right,
everybody from Uzbekistan is a potential terrorist. And
it bugs me when, like, everybody's like, well, where were they from? Where are they from? Right. Like, that's so important. It's like, no, they're a human who is evil and hates people and did something awful.
My husband said it's everyone's worst nightmare because they're Muslim and they speak Russian.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like the double threat.
Exactly. No, but and where does that come from? It comes from the movies we watch and, you know, like, Russians are always the bad guys, you know, or now it's Muslims are always the bad guys.
Well, it started back in the Cold War. And then it's just easy to say.
Well, and what is it going to take for Americans to just be Americans? Right. Like, we're all originated from other
places.
It's
like they dig so deep to try to figure out where is this person from. It's
right.
Like, it doesn't matter. Like, they were a person who disrespected other persons.
Right.
And took lives.
Yeah. So I feel like all the offenders should be reported on the same, no matter their nationality.
Or what I don't like either is if the person is American and has no ties to Islam or no ties to Russia.
Oh, he was just psychotic.
Oh, yeah. He must have had something wrong mentally. Well, maybe, but he's still...
It's still...
It doesn't make it all right. Yeah, exactly. So that's just the kind of... It's like, if they're foreign, well, it's because they were foreign.
But
if they're American, it's because they're mentally challenged.
I think the thing that scares me, and we've talked about this before, is in our worldview, we have a Christian worldview, and it really bothers me when I hear other Christians talk about them Muslims or, the Russians and da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. Well, okay,
you mean the
politics
people?
Aside... We are called to love those that are around us, to reach all peoples, to not be biased based on race or creed. And I don't think...
That's sad.
I think that we get so blinded sometimes by fear and trying to protect ourselves. Fear. And we forget to still love those. And, I mean, I don't know how much I want to say, but I know of a lot of churches and good people in the Russian lands, in the Far East, in places like that are our brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And so, and I know in all of those other countries as well, I just personally know of those places, but I don't know, it makes me really sad and kind of riled up when I hear people.
Righteous anger.
I agree. You have political views, but you also need to remember that above those political views is what the Bible says.
And I think people forget that. I think a lot of people forget
that.
It's God first.
Right.
You know.
Family.
Yeah.
Exactly. Church.
But then for a lot of people, it's like the nationalism takes first place.
Oh,
you know?
So
and it's... And they equate their religion with their American citizenship. And... I don't know what it's going to take, because I feel like now, of all times, like, you should see that is not the case. Like, our American citizenship is definitely not, like, we are citizens of heaven first.
Yep.
Praise God, I am a citizen of heaven first.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just terrible. But yeah, some of the most racist people I know are Christians. And that, to use Paul's words, that ought not to be.
So along those lines, I don't know how you guys felt, but when they found out in this book that Father Woodlawn,
Father Woodlawn
was like British,
from England.
But what is that
he
called?
He was like a nobleman.
A noble, or like a lord
or something. Yeah.
little Lord Woodlawn.
Dude, take it. And they're like, we're Americans. I'm like, you don't even know.
Yeah. Get out now.
Just wait, you know, some decades later.
Go back to England. I was so, like, I remember being disappointed when I read it the first time that they weren't going to go. Yeah. I'm a little bit.
I didn't want them to go, though.
I did. I was all about it.
I was torn. I really wanted them to go, but I realized the reason, especially the mom and the oldest sister, like, the only reason they wanted to go was because they would be wealthy and have
everything. I wanted them to go.
Yeah, but like, they had this cool life. They could buy
an estate out in the country and let the little hooligans go run on it.
It's so crazy to me because, I mean, the times are so different.
Yeah.
And maybe if we did live back then, we would be like, no, America's great.
And that's what I was thinking.
And obviously, like, just the relationship between America and England during that time was not good. Like, they were trying to distance themselves as much as they could from the king.
Yeah, it was a lot closer to all of that separation and all of the religious whatnot.
So it's just a different time, you know? And, like, if he... I
was very disappointed,
he would have to, like, renounce his American citizenship if he went back.
Yeah. What do you think people have to do when they come to America?
I know.
They can do, like, dual citizenship, can't they?
I don't think so. When you become an American citizen, they make you say that I renounce all loyalty to any other land or ruler or... Like, it's pretty intense the way you have to say it. And I heard that, and I was like, I don't know if I could do that if I were from a different country. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty intense.
Because if you're an American citizen, you can have dual citizenship in some countries, but do you have to first be an American citizen?
Parents need to be? Because I know some missionary families where their kids are born in a different country, and they're able to get dual citizenship. So they've never been in America, but their parents are American.
Okay.
Hmm. Interesting how all of that works.
Yeah. It is interesting. Mandy, what were some of your other favorite parts of the book? You said the end was good. You said that spilled the nuts that really resonated with you, right?
No, I said when I read it, I remembered either...
Oh, you remember it from
I don't think it was a movie. I think, like you said, I think it was read to me in elementary because I remember that part happening. Because I remember thinking it was funny, and I still think it's funny.
I thought that whole scene was hilarious. I just love how the boys managed to sneak in and be perfect.
Yeah, and she's like,
here I am.
I'm here.
Yeah, that's something I would do. And something like that happened to me before we started recording today.
I bought
Mandy coffee, well, and myself coffee, and I was getting out of the car and I was going to set them on top of the car to get my other stuff out. And I'm telling you, her coffee just leapt out of my hand and spilled all over the front seat of my car. And it was a grande. The whole thing.
It was a grande. Look what you brought me, Leah.
That's a grande.
What I'm saying, it was a lot
that's
of coffee.
$12 grande. That's what that is.
A lot of coffee and sugar and syrup all over my car.
But decided
it'll smell good now.
That's what we decided.
I said now my car's gonna smell like coffee.
Because she said it smelled like poop before.
Well, it smelled bad. I don't know what it was.
You might want to check under your seats.
I know, I'm like, is your daughter
animal turd?
Do you let her
be like in your engine or something?
Do you let her
How
eat?
How dare they? Yes, I let her eat.
Maybe she dropped something. But maybe she dropped something and it's like molding under your seat or something.
I could look. I don't know. I smelled it yesterday when I got in the car and I didn't smell it before then. I don't know. Sometimes the sense of the atmosphere around, because we live in the middle of...
Especially when it rains here.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. The air smells like sewage.
And worms. It does.
People are like, where is this?
What is it like in Illinois?
Northern Illinois.
Much like this book.
Yeah.
Pioneer country.
We don't live that far from where she lived.
We really don't. I think that's another reason why I like this book for several reasons. It was based on a true story. Mm-hmm. She has red hair.
Yes.
I knew you were going to say that.
And it was close to where we lived.
I was like, Wisconsin!
Guys.
I've been there.
Guys, how about the story of the family dog? How about that?
That depressed me.
Did you see it coming, though? I was he's totally coming back.
Oh, I knew he was coming back. As soon as What's-His-Face wrote him and was like,
I don't know where
he's run away, I was like, he's making his way back to the wood.
Homeward bound.
Nero's journey.
Nero's journey. I like it. And all the animal friends he met along the way.
Yeah.
Helped him survive.
They fed him. Gave him shelter.
On the way from St. Louis to Wisconsin,
he ran into some buffalo. You don't know what was
that. You know what? You're right. You know?
He probably barked like 101 Dalmatians and found, you know, some other sheep dogs along the way.
And they're like, well, if you head up the river this way, you just go right up the Mississippi.
I'll take you as far as the fence post by the oak tree.
Onto something. You should write this.
I know.
Nero's journey. I like it. You guys, fan fiction of Catty Woodline.
I need a website.
On a whole other level.
That's so crazy.
Put it on the team friendship.
I'll make a tab.
Yeah, we can have a tab on the team fan fiction. Mandy's fan fiction, because I'm not writing it. Mm-hmm. I can be a no, what's the
friendships
word?
Fan fiction.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
You can be the editor.
Well, like writers, like they need inspiration, so they like they just
creative
ask.
Consultant.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Creative consultant. I'm not good with words, so I'm gonna need a dictionary.
You might have to have more than one.
It has taken longer for my consultant / editor to edit this than it took me to write it.
I'm really good at editing. I have a nice critical eye.
Do you?
I do.
Okay.
Have Joey start sending you his papers instead of making me read them.
Yes, please let me. I want to do
that. Yeah.
Only Lauren would be like, yes!
This is wrong, and this is wrong.
I don't know, I just like... She's got red markers at home ready. Fix this. She's going to be using red Crayola markers. Because she's a mommy.
That's right.
These are non-toxic.
And they're smelly. It smells like strawberries.
You would probably enjoy that.
Oh, goodness. So any other favorite parts of this book that you guys have?
When she goes to tell the Native Americans.
Mm, yes.
Yes, she rides off on the horse.
Yes.
It made me sad that they left.
It was sad.
But it was also smart.
It was smart.
It just wasn't fair.
You know, but, like, they could have just as easily attacked. But instead he was like, well, we'll just go away for a while.
Right. No, they obviously did a better thing than...
Oh, there was a quote in the book. I wanted to read it. It has to do with this. I just want to know what you guys think of it. Keep talking while I find it.
I felt bad for the girl that almost died. She had something wrong with her, though. Because she had to keep Caddy's secret, and then it made her sick.
She, passed out.
But then she was, homebound.
I think she was just, I think it was, a psychological thing more than, I think an anxiety thing, maybe?
Yeah.
Which I understand. Hallelujah.
I just didn't understand anxiety. why she had to be bedridden for, weeks.
I think
it was okay. Everything was okay.
I think she just couldn't get past, if something would have happened.
Yeah.
It would have been her fault.
I mean, she could have had a chemical or, a hormonal imbalance thing going on, too. I mean, which caused her, her anxiety just to...
But they kind of talked about before how she was more delicate or something. It was just interesting
to me. And kind of quiet, so... I mean, Lauren was kind of like that, where she internalized a lot of things, you know?
I mean,
it can make you sick.
Yeah, I didn't go to the doctor for this when I was a kid, but I would bet money that I developed ulcers when I was a kid from worrying so much. And I would just internalize stuff. And sometimes, I mean, we had it wasn't the greatest childhood, so there were things that went on in our childhood that that would genuinely upset a child. But I would get upset over, assignments at school that required more than than like a regular homework assignment mm-hmm. effort. Like stuff mm-hmm. like that. I would just, anytime something different was going on in my life, I would just freak out.
I mean, I had that too. I also pulled,
you pulled your hair out.
A hair out from stress. That was in second grade.
That was in the second grade. It only got worse from there. That's why I'm bald now. She's not bald.
I'm not. Plus,
she has the potential to. We keep her in check.
My husband checks my hair nightly to make sure there's no bald spots.
Keep the stress levels at bay.
Did you find it yet, Lauren?
Yes, I did. So it's on page 134, and she's gotten to the Native American, and she found John, and she said, would those men whom she had heard talking by the cellar door believe a little girl when she told them that Indian John's tribe was at peace? She did not know. And here's what I want, this next thing I'm going to read is what I want you guys to think about. She says, savages were savages. But what could one expect of civilized men who plotted massacre?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is what was so frustrating, that they were so afraid of these evil savages, and they were the ones that were freaking mm-hmm. out over mm-hmm. a rumor. And they couldn't be bothered to go talk to them.
It reminds me of, I have mixed emotions about the Disney version of Pocahontas, because there's obviously a lot of stuff in it that's not accurate.
Yeah, it's not great.
But so it goes with every other story they retell. This just happens to be
But
story.
there's a song in that movie where the white men are singing about the Indians, and they're saying, savages, savages. I think that's mm-hmm. the name of the song. I'm just wondering if Disney would put out a movie like that today, where they're singing about savages. But it was interesting because the white men were singing that about the Indians, and then the Indians were singing that about the white men. Mm-hmm. And so it's just interesting, like, just their different perspectives. Yeah, they're like, these men are coming in and stealing our land, and they want to kill us. Like, that makes them savage, you know? Mm-hmm. Just because they have different clothes or live a different way culturally, you know, that doesn't make them better than us.
So we were out, when we lived out in New York, we went to Jamestown and a couple other places. And we were in a university that had some historical stuff posted, and it talked about how missionaries tried to reach out to the Native Americans and bring them in and like educate them. Mm-hmm. And they just they didn't like it, and they wouldn't stay. Like, yeah, because they don't have to become a white man to know the Bible.
Like, right. That's a common misconception.
Like, you're trying to take away their culture that not everything they did mm-hmm. was wrong.
Yeah. I think that's a common misconception even today
that
American missionaries have. It's like, they go over to different countries, and I don't even think it's just third world countries. I think it's anywhere they go that they try to Americanize them. Yeah. And they're like, if you're not American, then you're not a Christian. And that's not true. In that book, Solo, and I don't want to give too much away, he ends up going to... I might spoil it. Okay, if you're going to read Solo, don't listen to this, okay?
Who am I kidding? I'm not reading it.
Well, this isn't going to spoil the book, because I'm not telling you why. He ends up going to Africa, to Congo, and there's this school there, and he becomes friends with a teacher of the school there, and he wants to, like, you know, build stuff for them and do stuff for them, and the teacher says to him, you know, missionaries come here from America, and they come and they tell us what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And they never ask us what we need. Mm-hmm. They're like, we're very grateful. Like, we're very grateful for the generosity.
Right.
But, you know, they were like, well, we want to build you a dormitory. And she's like, well, we really just want a washing machine. You know, we spend right. all day washing our clothes.
Right.
And we're not able to spend time reading.
But they saw how they're living and thought, yeah. they're not living how we yeah. live or would want mm-hmm. to live. Yeah. So we need to change yeah. that.
And so it's just, that was just so interesting to me. It's so true. It's like we try to strip people of their heritage when it's not, those aren't bad things. Right. And the way people live isn't a bad thing.
They've been living there a lot longer than right. you have.
Exactly. Well, just like we're mm-hmm. used to a certain life and mm-hmm. certain amenities, mm-hmm. other countries are too. Even when I went to Ireland, stuff was different yeah. than here. And
yeah. But yeah, I mean, if someone came from a more advanced society and came over here and tried to get us to live that way, like, I'm not going to lie to you guys right now. With that Alexa thing and is that a Google thing? That Alexa thing where
that's
you can, like,
Amazon thing.
Amazon, where you can, like, tell it to, like, do stuff for you. And, like, mm-hmm. that's very intimidating to me because I think that's the way that our world is going to, like, just stuff like that. And it's just intimidating to me, and I'm like, I just want to turn the lights on myself, or you know what I mean? Like, if that makes any sense. Right. I feel like I'm like an old lady now.
Can I just flip the switch what? Myself?
I can turn on my own music.
Amazon is doing this other new thing that you can have a video camera from them put in your home, and then they come deliver your packages inside your door, and so the delivery people somehow have access to your door and come in your house and set the package down and leave. And the camera's there to ensure that that's what happens.
No.
No one's putting a camera in my house.
No. Yeah.
Like, that is so...
They can install a little, like, a security box outside my home where they could put the right. packages if they would just like.
I was watching the news thing, and I'm like, does anyone else see what's happening here?
I mean, no cameras. Well,
I mean, the thing, and I don't hear about this stuff, and I don't hear about it on the news, but my husband, like, he's into, like, all that technology stuff and a lot of that ethical stuff that comes along with new technology, and he just reads about it all the time. But he said that certain companies have gotten in trouble. I think one of the smart TV companies got in trouble mm-hmm. because there is a camera on there and
yep.
they were watching people yeah. mm-hmm. and listening to what they were saying so that they could give them ads relevant uh-huh. to what they were talking about.
I know my phone listens to what I say.
Yeah.
And I just heard someone else talking about it because she was saying how she was just talking about how she wanted some chocolate, and she pulls up Instagram, and mm-hmm. one of the ads is for chocolate mm-hmm. you can get delivered to you.
I was talking about dog food dishes that, like, the ones where it makes it harder for them yeah. to yeah. eat so they don't scarf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ads for dog food dishes, yeah. cat food dishes.
So creepy.
Yeah. And yeah, they're doing it. It's not legal.
It's legal for Facebook because you agree to it.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah. People don't know that they've agreed to this.
Well, and also with the iPhones, there's a feature that agrees to let your phone listen for Hey Siri or whatever.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I turned that off.
Yeah, I've turned that off too.
I don't care what you're listening yeah. for. If you're listening for Hey yeah. Siri, you're gonna get a lot of stuff.
And it's just scary to me. I don't
the
like
the first
all
time
that
I
technology.
Really noticed it. It freaked me out so bad, I wanted to pull a Ron Swanson with my phone and just, like, throw it in the dumpster.
Sometimes it's, like, really convenient for me, though, because, like, I'm talking about actually, like, something I want to shop for. So I'm like, thanks, Facebook. And then other times I'm like, stop yeah. listening to me, you freak.
Michael got mad, like, this was several months ago, like, because Spotify will recommend, like, songs for you. And this wasn't even a listening thing. They just, like... They just know,
go off
like,
of what
yeah.
you listen to.
And yeah. so he's like, oh, because it was the Together for the Gospel. They mm-hmm. always put out the songs that they sing at their conference. And so they had released it on Spotify. And they're like, oh, Spotify recommends that you might like this. This might be something you like. He's like, oh, it is something I would like. Oh, it is something I would like. And I so mad.
I have hopped
his phone.
Like full force on the Google bandwagon.
Oh, that's how I am.
I'm like, camera in my room.
That's how I'm like, you make my life easier. I will forsake all privacy rights.
I've got my Google phone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm like that too. And he's just
like, freaking Google Home can do stuff for me.
Yeah. Implant a chip into my mind and just think what I mean. And it's there.
Just waiting for them to make something that can go to work for me. And my life will be complete. Come on, Google!
You need a little robot to
someone to make go tape for you.
Anyway, we've gotten all over the place today, guys.
Good luck editing this one.
Caddy Woodlawn is inspiring.
Exactly. This book was so good. See, you guys were nervous because it was from the 1930s. Well, we can learn from the 1930s.
I remembered liking the book, so I wasn't as nervous as I would have been for other old choices.
The Story of Mankind.
Yeah,
I feel like that's just an exception altogether.
It makes my stomach turn just saying.
So, do you guys have any last thoughts on this book before we move on?
Two thumbs. No. Two fist bumps.
Two fist bumps for Mandy.
I felt like it was a nice little foyer back to my childhood.
Yeah, definitely took me back to my childhood.
Not that I lived like Caddy Woodlawn. I read the book when I was a child.
Yes. It's
like a better version of Little House on the Prairie.
I read a comment like that on Goodreads. Someone else said that exact same thing. They were like, it's a better version of Little House.
I was reading a blog and they were talking about that and why Little House, and then there's like the American Girl doll, somebody that was based in era, in that area even. And they were saying, like, why isn't this as popular? Just because it wasn't put into a movie, basically, or a television show.
Or sold a doll.
And they were talking about how, like, Caddy has all this love for people, and she's so understanding for people that aren't like her. Mm-hmm. And then they were comparing it to Laura from Little House. And how, like, she was afraid of the savages and, like, like comparing them. Like, Caddy was a much better person.
Yeah.
Like,
so she's a better role model.
But yet, we get the Little House on the Prairie.
Yep.
Well, maybe. Are you listening, Google?
Caddy
Woodlawn
movie. Your next thing, Google. Google movies. First movie is Caddy Woodlawn.
All right.
Don't forget to credit us.
We'll be awaiting your sponsorship.
Well, the 1936 Newbery Honor books were Honk the Moose by Phil Strong, The Good Master by Kate Sarity, Young Walter Scott by Elizabeth Janet Gray, and All Sail Set, A Romance of the Flying Cloud by Armstrong Sperry. So
none of those sound interesting to me.
Except that moose one. That
yeah, Honk the Moose. I want to try that one. So yeah, those are the 1936 Newbery Honor books. So our next book, guys. Our next book will be a book. It's going to be our first one that has been recommended to us by a listener.
Yes.
One of Mandy's former teachers, actually.
Yes, my former history teacher. Shout out to you, Mr. V.
So yes, we will be reading Johnny Tremaine by Esther Forbes. That book won the 1944 Newbery Medal. So
I saw that our former English teacher just recently read it with her daughter. Mm-hmm. And her daughter finished it first and spoiled it for her.
So do not talk to us, little girl.
Everyone I know that has read this book loves it.
Yeah, they love it.
So I'm excited about this. I'm excited. I got nervous, you know, because it is one of the books that's older, and it's a historical
book. I have high hopes after Caddy here. So
I know. I'm excited. So yeah, listeners, if you have a book that's a Newbery Medal winner that you love that we haven't reviewed yet,
Let us know
and we'll do it. We will do it. Otherwise, the next person after this book gets to choose is Mandy. So
I've picked really good ones so far.
Yeah. I mean, they're all good except for the Story of
Mankind. They've won medals, so.
That was a mutual mistake.
That's our first one.
We didn't know.
So, yeah. Well, let's let the people know how to get in touch with us so they can tell us what book to do.
You can email us teamfriendshippodcast@gmail.com.
You can find us on Instagram, Team Friendship Podcast.
We're on Facebook, facebook.com/Team Friendship Podcast.
And we're on Twitter @3FriendsPodcast.
And our website, teamfriendshippodcast.com.
You can find me on Twitter @GracieFirstborn.
You can find me on Instagram @LeahRaniel. Just have to figure that out yourself.
I've been doing this a long time now. And you can also find me on the Instagram @MandyMalay.
All right, friends. We'll see you all in another time.
And remember, friends, no two persons ever read the same book.
And if you're Mandy, you read it in 2 days with a bag of Snickers at your side.
Snickers.
Happy Halloween!
3 weeks. I ate a bag of Snickers.
I finished a video game. I read this book.
You had me a bag of Snickers.
That's the dream, man.
So
when do I get to have a week like that, guys?
Very good, Mandy.
Is that your like outro?
Yeah.
By Carrie Carroll.
Nope.
That was right.
Okay. All right, so Caddy Woodlawn, which has been captivating young readers since 1935. This is not the blurb of the book.
You're literally reading it from the
book. I know, but it's like a...
Oh, it looks like you have a copy from the 1930s.
I know. Well, it's not, but it's from the library. Anyway, in her foreword old. To this volume, this is not.
Come on, Lauren.
I know. I'm sorry, guys.
Have failed. I'm leaving.
It's done.
You guys, you are Blue Yeti beanies.
What?
We're getting Blue Yeti beanies.
Maybe they could sponsor us. Email them.
How do we go about that? How do we go about getting
sponsorship? I don't know. We'll look into that some other time.
We have to have a listenership first.
Okay, everybody who's listening to this right now.
Talking to you, Joey.
Send this to all your friends.
Our number one fan, Joey.
Tell all your
friends. Send this to all your friends and tell them to listen to this.